Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
What a special day we have on the Mike O'Mara Show today. We are going to have the one, the only, the legendary Eddie Money. Woo-hoo! Will be here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
The Money Man. I don't think Oscar was born when Eddie Money was rocking.
Yeah, what were you born?
I was born in 1978, so
yeah, you know what? He was kind of in it.
I heard the Money Man from my sister when she was listening to Q107.
Good morning.
When I was a little kid, I remember hearing the song, right?
The thing is that his career started when you were born. 1978 is when he had his first hit record.
Was somebody that the Don and Mike had a relationship with. We used to have him on the show. He came to one of our events. I think it was a Halloween party that he came to.
Did it involve a limo? I'm trying to remember.
Here's what I remember about Eddie Money. This is all I remember. And he's not going to remember us just like I don't remember him.
Right.
But I remember him. I just don't remember the details. He was wearing a Western fringe jacket. And he had that General Custer look.
Was it a reinvention maybe? And like a long mustache? Beard,
and he had really long hair. And the reason Eddie's coming on the show is because Eddie now has a reality show called Real Money. And it premiered last Sunday on, what is it? What's the network that it
Axis,
premiered on?
Axis TV.
Axis TV.
It's a music-driven channel, and I think it's in the 300s on DirecTV.
Yeah, they'll have concerts on there as well. They're looking into original programming as of like the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all I know, last week when Rob mentioned Eddie Money was doing a reality show, I said, smash hit. I said, there's no way this cannot be a smash hit. It's going to be that big. It's going to be that good. The program captures the daily lives of the Money family, which includes Eddie, Lori, his wife of over 30 years, their five kids, Zach, Joe, Jesse, Dez, and Julian, and their eight pets as they live, laugh. Look, this is... What did we say? We said this is Ozzy Osbourne with somebody you can understand.
And also, I mean, I watched the first episode, and I think he's got it together a little more than Ozzy. I think he's aware of what's going on, and I like he plays to the camera.
He looks tired, though, to me.
Well, he's 69. I think when you're 69, and there's 69 rough years.
Yeah. You know, how do you keep going, in that kind of world?
Sure.
When you're 69. You know, I come in here every day. I'm 58. I come in, I sit down on the days that I can make it to work. I come in and I sit down and I do this show, but this is not going out to a club and rocking and getting on planes and traveling all over the country. That's a grind.
That is.
That's a grind.
God. He's been doing it for a long, long time. If you had come in and done the show.
My baritone was better today.
If you had done the show yesterday, would people think we were talking with Eddie Money?
Ladies and gentlemen, do we have Mr. Money on the show?
We do.
Eddie Money, the Money Man. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. It's been too long. How are you, Eddie?
Mike, how's it going, buddy? We were in different rehabs together back in the 80s.
Yes! Eddie Money, oh my God. Let me get the plug on there. There is a reality show. Wait, and then I'll tell you all about the story when Rob said you had a reality show. I said you got to book Eddie Money because this is going to be amazing. Real Money, it premiered last Sunday on Axis TV, and it is it's you and your family. You are going to be Eddie Money. My prediction right here: you will be the next reality show television star. You were made for this medium. You are made to be on reality
TV. I agree,
Eddie.
Michael, you're so kind. I wish you would have done the show 10 pounds and 10 years ago, to tell you the truth.
Eddie, that's the first question I have to ask you, because do you have any memory back when I was doing the Don and Mike show? I think we had you on the radio show a lot, and then you came to a live event that we did And I remember you were, it was during your General Custer phase where you were wearing the fringe like leather jacket and you had the little beard under the lip and you look good. You look good, Eddie. And now here we are, both of us old men and right. you're still getting it done.
Yeah.
You are still rocking. How you feeling, Ed?
I'm doing good. I mean, you know, I quit getting loaded and stuff like that because when you start raising kids, you don't want your kids to think you're a coke addict or an alcoholic. So, you know, I quit. Everybody's happy. But, you know, then the kids go out and they're like old enough to go to a bar and drink and stuff like that. And I go, wait a right. minute. When I was their age, man, when I was their age, I was snorting South American countries with you, Mike. What are you talking about?
I knew it.
Wrong partner. But anyway, no, I'm terribly sorry. I was drinking quite a bit. Still am, as a matter of fact, Ed. That's I got to, you know,
right on,
you have
baby.
To slow down.
Right on, baby.
You have to slow down. And you know, and now you're doing this. Where did what made you want to do a reality show, Eddie Money? Why did you want to do this?
Well, you know what they say: a happy wife is a happy life. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, and, like, the missus wanted Jimmy, you to do it. Oh, that's right. You know, the missus
well,
wanted you.
Sammy Hagar and I are really good buddies, just like James Hetfield from Metallica. But their wives, the three of those wives together, they're like the three musketeers, and they rule the roost. But, you know, my wife said to me, Sammy had the show called On the Road with Sammy Hagar. It's on Access, and I thought it was really funny.
Right.
They said they want to maybe do something with you. And I did that show with Oprah called Where Are They Now?
Right.
And one of the episodes of Where Are They Now, being an alcoholic that don't drink anymore, my son was fighting with my daughter, and I went upstairs, and the cameras were on. I didn't know there was cameras on, and my son drank a half a bottle of vodka. He was lit up like a Christmas tree, and I went nuclear. I was going, who do you think you are? You're living in my house. Well, I thought it was, you know, but they loved it on television. I don't know what happened. Next thing I know, I got a phone call from Mark Cuban, and they're shooting this TV show. Who knows?
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
So you have, 15 children? How many children do you have? They're all on the reality show now. You've got a lot of kids.
I got five kids. I should have got that TV fixed, not back in the 80s. But I got five kids.
I am listening to you, and I am going back to the mid-1980s, and I don't feel like we have missed a beat. It is it's truly spectacular. I'm really glad that you settled down, and your wife is your wife of 30-plus years now. And
I
think, as I said, when I heard that this thing was coming on, I couldn't believe it. I said, this is going to be great, because you had a bigger, you know, you were, everybody knows the hits. Everybody knows the music. But we got to know you as a personality. You were great on radio interviews. You were a natural to do that. Might have to come from your New York background, but you were really good. I think you're a good fit. The thing that I hear about people that do reality shows, Eddie, though, is that it does get to be a little much when you've got the cameras there all the time. You can kind of control that, can't you?
Not really, because when they put a camera on my wife and my daughter, and I'm doing a scene with the three of them, I'm going to myself, why are they talking to me like this? Because you know you can't come back at your wife or your daughter. And because they got your cameras on, and all of a sudden they turn into, like, you know, I don't even, somebody you don't want to see on TV, you know?
But I've watched a lot of reality TV, and I love the first episode of your show. You seem to be having so much fun. You're playing to the camera. You're not taking it too seriously as a show, are you? Because you seem to be having a good time.
You know what? I think the show is off the cuff. It's got nothing, you know. I got to play my new song on a brand new day, though. I got a new record coming out, probably at BMG. And it's really going to be great. And I did the show basically to help my kid out. They say when they say video killed the radio star, that's true. But the internet has really killed the recording artist.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't put out Brand New Day. I've not put out Brand New Day yet. And I've gotten about 4,000 people that have it from one email that I sent. So that'll tell you what, you know.
That's amazing. I remember I go back to you with Peace in Our Time. That's what you were promoting. That was the last one you were promoting with us. And you were that's a long, long time ago. For those of you that might be living in a box, you have to be aware of the fact that since 1978, Eddie has 23 Hot 100 hits and 11 in the top 40. That's a pretty huge accomplishment right there. You've been doing it for a long, long time. I just think, I was talking to the guys before we had you on, the grind of doing that.
Oh,
how many gigs are you doing a year?
Well, I know. I try. You know, guys, I got five kids. I try to get out of the house. You know what I'm saying?
But to do, are you touring all the time?
Well, yeah, I go out every weekend, to tell you the truth, because, you know, I mean, the government takes, I mean, we live in the greatest country in the world, but I mean, they take me over the coals with between state tax in California and the feds. It's like, it's incredible. But, you know, the fact that the money, they write the checks to my wife. What do I ever see money? We've been married 31 years, but guys, I want to tell you something. We did separate for 3 years, and I got to tell you, now that she's not around, it was the best 3 years of my life.
Eddie Money, but she keeps you straight. Yeah. She looks fantastic. You're on the road all the time with your kids. Since you play with your sons and your daughters, all your kids, there must be, I mean, there's no shortage of drama in that situation, right?
No, not at all, because, you know, my daughter, she's like, she thinks she's Janis Joplin. She's already gone through, like, four cars. It's crazy. Then getting them up in the morning, and what room was Jessica in, and who left their, you know, headphones in the hotel room, and going out with the kids, guys, I'm telling you, it's really, really crazy, but I guess it's good TV, huh? I wish somebody would trade places with. And then when I yell at the kids, my wife says to me, quit picking on the kids. You look like Joe Jackson.
We're talking to Eddie Money. The show is Real Money on Axis TV. And it's really going to be a hit. I know, Rob, you're excited about it.
I am. And speaking of drama, and I don't want to go where I don't belong, but I feel I must ask this question. What is your current feeling towards Kenny Loggins?
Oh, that controversy from way back when. That's right.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Kenny, our kids were on the same TV show, and this goes back to the 70s. It's just like he was working with Giorgio Moroder.
Right.
And I was singing that song. I was singing Highway on the Dangerous Field. I did all those songs before Kenny. But I think Kenny was had Messina on his side because he was a bigger hit. But the thing is Kenny never gave me credit for the part that I sang it all right now in the middle.
And can I play the clip? Made, can I play the clip for you, Eddie?
Play people. This is Eddie Money. Listen to this. That's him.
Yeah. And you know what? It's one of my favorite songs, but you're the backbone of that record. That record's not a hit without that backup vocal.
Did that ever work out? Did you ever resolve things with him?
Well, he lives in Santa Barbara because he's got more money than I do. But to tell you the truth of the matter is, he's like, he had one back in. And he's got a new version, and he replaced it with me. So I'm no longer on the record. But I've got no hard feelings about Kenny Loggins. But it was kind of a tiff there. It was like, you know, I was drinking, I was hungover, I was crazy, and the hell with him.
There are no substances in your world anymore. No coke, no booze, no nothing anymore, right?
It's kind of like Live from Betty Ford, the Eddie Money Show. But the thing is, I'm selling shirts. After the shows, I'm selling shirts for Pets for Vets and take these homeless dogs and teach them how to take care of these veterans. It's really a great program, and I'm the ambassador for Pets for Vets. But when I get out there, everybody gets so drunk at these Eddie Money shows, like Two Tickets Paradise, Take Them a Love Shake, and the promoters say to me, the more people drink at Eddie Money shows than any of the other shows. So when I'm selling T-shirts at the end of the night, I got a couple of drivers, and I'm going, honey, you look fantastic, but you're not going to look good in an orange jumpsuit. We're going to get you a ride home.
Oh, that's good. Good for you, Eddie.
Good man.
Listen, I hope this is a smash.
Me too.
I think it can't miss with your personality.
Love it.
It just, when I heard your name, it brought back all those great memories that, you know, you were so much fun to be around, and I think it shows on the show. I've looked at a clip of the show. It looks fantastic. And how long are you going to keep doing this? You're 69.
Yeah.
How long are you going to keep rocking, Eddie Money?
You know, to tell you the truth, they haven't asked me for a wheelchair at the gate yet, so we'll see what happens, you know?
Eddie, we wish you nothing but the best of luck. You're a good guy, and congratulations on making this new life for yourself. 30 years married with all your kids on tour. It's got to be very gratifying, and I wish you nothing but the very best of luck.
The next time you're in D.C., come by and see us. We got to hang out.
You know, I love D.C., and I love you guys. And, you know, you got a big show. You syndicated now. It's really continued success, guys. Huh? That's what it's all
Thank
about.
You. Thank you so Eddie. Much. Eddie Money, the show is Real Money, and you can follow Eddie on eddiemoney.com, Instagram and Twitter, at Eddie Money, and Eddie Money also on Facebook. I just had a conversation with someone that took me back to the 1980s.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't admit that was the exact, he does the exact same thing. He gets those plugs in. It's hysterical. I love talking to
the show is good too.
Yeah,
the
it is. It's good. A funny show.
Yeah, the show,
show.
Is, good. Yeah, the show is good. It's a good reality yeah. show. It's
out of the blue. Yeah, I'm matching up Pets and Vets. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, out of the blue. You get that just, in there
I
like
got to get that in there.
Here are my 10 questions for. Here are my 10 questions for Eddie Money that I didn't get at to ask a single one. That's
well, good for
that's
him.
The way that went. But he was. He used to do plugs for the show. Hey, this is the Money Man, Eddie Money. We had a great time at that party. The record is a piece in our time. It's great. He sounds exactly like. That makes me realize how he sounded when he was back in the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I mean, that fits a 69-year-old man. For a 30-year-old guy, maybe not so much.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, we remember had a great time at that party. Yeah,
yeah, I remember you. Yeah, it's hey, it's I the Money Man.
Hey, I had a fringe jacket on.
I don't remember all of the details, but that might be because of the quality of the party. That may have been the party. I know it was one of those many costume parties where I was dressed in drag, I think. I may have been.
Are you
Barbara
sure?
Bush
are you sure
party.
It was a costume party, or did you just show up as a surprise?
Well, those red pumps. When I got those size 13 red pumps, I never gave them up. Any excuse to wear them. That's the way.
Tootsie was popular.
So. Let me make sure that I got all the stuff in there. The episodes air every Sunday at 9:30. And if you want to know about Eddie Money, who had two tickets to Paradise, Baby, Hold On, and more and more and
I
more.
I want to go what back. Is,
what, take me home tonight.
Take me home.
Take me shaking. Home tonight. Shannon was watching the screener with me yesterday because they were nice to send over screeners. Yeah. That's when you know that you have a professional outfit where they don't give you like 10 million passwords. They send you a screener.
Yeah,
you move on, right?
Send you a screener.
Yeah.
Right on there.
And she's like, he sang all these songs,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, yeah, and the guy's still doing it.
Yeah,
and when you have that kind of vocal register, which he had back in the 70s and 80s, uh-huh. you can still sing those songs today.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think about that, take me home tonight.
Yeah,
it just is.
You know how you said when I saw Stevie Wonder, you said he still has his instrument? Well,
yes.
Eddie Money also still has his instrument, but it's a dented saxophone.
The program will capture the daily lives of the Money family. That includes Eddie, Lori, his wife of over 30 years, their five kids, Zach, Zoe, Jesse. These are names that a rocker gives.
I love
kids,
Dez. Right? I think Dez is the best name.
Dez. Hi. This is Dez Money. It's Zach, Zoe.
Joe.
Zach, Joe, Jesse, Dez, Julian, and their eight pets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see. And he is also working on an autobiographical musical entitled Two Tickets to Paradise.
I'll go see it.
I know you will. That's wonderful. Well, that's it.
I don't need
I'm here,
Hamilton.
So
not those prices.
It'll be bigger than Hamilton. Great to be back. And let's start the show, Rob Spiewak. Why not? Rock and roll.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Do you have any... eights.
Don't you have homes?
Porterhouse.
Yes, sir, Judge.
There's a brown Audi parked in my parking space.
Yes, sir.
Get a tow truck over here and have it hauled away immediately.
Right away, Judge. Right away, sir. Sir.
Ow, Porterhouse.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Judge. Yes, sir.
Look at the wax buildup on those shoes. This is fine leather. I want that wax stripped off there. I want them creamed and buffed with a fine chamois. And I want them now. Chop, chop.
Got him, Judge.
Spalding, get dressed. You're playing golf today.
No, I'm not, Grandpa. I'm playing tennis.
You're playing golf, and you're going to like it.
What about my asthma?
I'll give you asthma.
Time. What did you shoot today?
Oh, I don't keep score, Judge.
Oh, well, how do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
You know, you should play with Dr. Beeper myself. I mean, he's been club champion for 3 years running, and I'm no slouch myself.
Don't sell yourself short, Judge. You're a tremendous slouch.
Yeah, kid, park my car, get my bags, and put on some weight, will you? Hey, Wang, what's with the pictures? It's a parking lot. Come on, will you? I think this place is restricted, Wang, so don't tell me you're Jewish. Okay, fine. Hey, kid, I'm Al Chervik. I'm playing with Drew Scott today. This is my guest, Mr. Wang. No offense. Oh, I can maybe have a half dozen of those Vulcan D10s and set my friend up here with the whole schmear. You know, clubs, bags, shoes, gloves, shirt, pants. Hey, orange balls. I'll have a box of those. Give me a box of those naked lady tees and give me two of those. Give me six of those. Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I'll bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh? Oh, it looks good on you, though.
This is Wade Byard, the Public Information Officer for Loudoun County Public Schools. The Mike O'Mara Show has decided to start now. Please make all necessary arrangements to listen. This is the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. And now, without further delay, here's Mike O'Mara.
We are live from the Pfeiffer Studios in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, a worldwide podcast and radio show. Actually, not in that order. We're a radio show and a podcast.
Sure.
Isn't that right, Oscar?
Yes,
we
are.
We're a radio show and a podcast.
Radio show and a podcast.
And if you're here, you're in the know. We're on air, on demand, and heard on the new TMOS app. Updated now. Get our show all day, every day. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. God, I love this song.
Great song, yeah, isn't it great?
It's a shame that they had a fight over this song. Kenny Loggins didn't give him,
You know what I say? I say Kenny Loggins is a dick.
Yeah. I think he is. He's got a reputation. Anyway, our show today brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. If you're not growing, you'll die. And we are proud to announce that Cornerstone First Financial is now licensed in Colorado. And still, more states are soon to come. So whether you are in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, or even Colorado, Cornerstone is there to help you when you need it. If you're buying, selling, or refinancing, all you need is Cornerstone First. They know exactly what to do, so even if you don't, you'll still come out on top. It is a fact that interest rates are going up, so all TMOS listeners need to act now to refinance, to take cash out, or pay off debt before rates go up even further. Cornerstone First Financial is here to help. They can figure out your best financial moves and get them done for you so you save money. Approved by Oscar Santana.
Yay!
You can click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. From the 202 to the Centennial State, personal attention from application to closing, licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado. Don't wait. Now is the time to call Cornerstone First Financial. Is everything all right in your phone over there?
Everything is great.
I'm just
texting out some instructions to the family here.
No, the fam?
Yeah, the fam.
The fam.
Like our family? Or
no, I'm taking my mom to get Botox, and she's blowing up my phone.
Really?
Yes.
Your mom's getting Botox?
Yeah. You know, that's sort of a strong opener, isn't it?
And a filler. Whatever that is.
A filler?
I have no idea.
Wow.
She's getting Botox.
Yeah, wow. She's 60. She's 68, and
she's younger than Eddie Money.
She's younger than Eddie Money.
Wouldn't it be funny if she was married to Eddie Money?
She said, She said for Christmas she wanted Botox and filler, so we got our shekels together.
Now, question, from a medical family.
My family did.
From a medical family, they don't have any reservations about shooting botulism into your mother because it's poison.
No, it's modern medicine.
It's hinky. I don't trust it. I don't think it's right.
Well, you don't like anything new or exciting.
So things that are exciting and new, like a trip on the Love Boat.
I don't consider Botox to be new and exciting. I consider Botox to be sort of a standard, all that invasive.
If you can look, if you have kids that can afford it,
right,
and you want to look good, you get them to pay for it.
Is she going
to
be on Real Housewives of Only?
I wish.
I am curious about
some income after retirement. Would be nice.
Yes. We could do a reality show down here,
Mrs. Auville.
No comment. Would you mind? Am I being too forward to ask? How much does now? What exactly do you know? What the treatment's going to be? What she's going to get?
What's happening on my phone right now is the collective. There's a lot of coordination for my sister, my brother, and my mom. Ask me all these questions.
Who are you, the point man?
I'm always a point man.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be
on this.
I live
the closest.
He's here.
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah,
he's the point man.
I care, and I'm here. I get disrespected by my family because they willy-nilly throw appointments out at me, right?
So, see, they think that you have a wide-open schedule where you, at the drop of a hat, can go do all the stuff that needs to be done.
Yes.
Now, are you getting a little break on the sweat equity part of this?
Where
the families maybe... No,
yeah.
So
I'm too proud for that, Mike.
You have to pony in your own money there, but you also have to do all the legwork, right?
It's not that expensive when it's broken up with three siblings.
But still, you're paying equal money and doing all the work, so you're the senior partner in this operation.
Yes, but to be fair, I could say that about my brother and sister, what they've done in the past. My brother...
They're generous. Your family is generous.
My brother bought my mom a Lexus like 4 years ago. As a surprise,
they're generous. They put up, but you do.
Like I didn't throw in for that.
Yeah, but the most important thing here is they assume because they feel, and then, look, I relate
I'm
to
the
this,
youngest.
To
a certain yeah. level.
Oh, that makes
you're
the worse.
Youngest, but they also, you're the circus clown. And
thank you, Mike.
They think, you just know what, we've commiserated on this, that they think that you can do, you know, Oscar will go do this, Oscar can go do this and do that. So the three of you are putting in together for this, and how long is this procedure?
It's an hour appointment. They found
so it's not that big
One of the best of the best. She happens to be in Reston, so I'll be leaving here after the show. And
they're all in Reston, by the way. They all work in Reston.
Mike,
that's
it's a planned community.
You want boobs, you want filler, you go to Reston. That's the way it works. Mm-hmm. All the plastic surgeons are in Reston. Yeah.
So I don't mind the Reston side of things. I mind the 1 o'clock side of things, right?
Right.
And I also mind the fact that I've already taken care of this. I've called my mom. I've had her put the address into the GPS.
Is she asking for the Lori money? I'm sorry.
Lori looks good, by the way.
Lori looks
good. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Lori looks very, very
strong. You see that show.
Tremendous show.
Yes.
So, strong. They're more concerned about the logistics where I said, I've got this. I've called my mom. I've called the doctor's office. They called me as well and made sure they had all my mom's vitals, right? Mm-hmm. And then when she walks in, there'll be a consult and they'll, I imagine, put some Botox in her and some filler if it's ready to go. I don't know how it works. And then we'll go from there. The last time we had Botox on the program was on the show where we had a different plastic surgeon as a sponsor.
Right.
And he actually brought the Botox to Mike's living room.
Right.
I remember that.
Yeah, I do remember that. And he cut on our newsman. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he was, and you didn't want it.
Facelift. Did Buzz get a facelift too?
I remember what happened is after the procedure, Buzz looked impossibly youthful.
He did look younger. Yeah. I don't know if he didn't get a facelift.
No, there was cutting though, wasn't there?
I lost 100 pounds, so this is why you never have to worry about it happening. No. I would consider getting this taken care of.
If you lost 100 pounds, that might go away. It might tighten up.
I don't think so. I think it'd still be the
loose
skin.
Mm. Yeah,
that's my least favorite thing.
Do you remember?
Think that's pretty easy compared to others.
I've lost 7 pounds in the last 3 weeks, and this is the one right here. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is the one right here that I get tired of looking at. I don't like,
but
I also, you know, realize I'm old.
So when Pee Wee Herman did his Netflix movie and there was shots leaked from the set,
they pulled his skin back?
Yeah, they bind his skin behind his head now so he looks more youthful. Well, so let's just get you a chip clip.
Because he has to look like Pee Wee Herman.
Yes. Well, you don't want that.
Like he's just doing those.
Or do you?
God, that sounds good, doesn't it?
But there is good. I don't think it's and look, there are two perspectives. When my mom asked for this for the holidays, no one blinked. Like it just seemed like a normal
thing.
Why
did they have Botox?
No. That would be cool. That would be correct as well, I imagine.
Right.
I know that my girl gets Botox for her jaw.
Okay.
Where I don't know what it does, but she doesn't have as bad a situation as Dan Von Herman's Katie Powers girl.
All right.
Jaw situation, but.
But she's, I mean, this is Botox for a medical?
For a medical issue. She gets that done in her jaw.
How often?
I don't know. Maybe
does she have
every 2 months.
Did she step on a rusty nail?
No, she does not.
Was she at Bass Pro Shops?
But she's done that in the past. I'm not. When I was younger, I would think, why would you do that? But now. Look, if I had the dollars, I would definitely do it. I would definitely do it.
You'd do Botox?
If I had wrinkles and I had to go through that, it's preventive.
See, I don't care about wrinkles. Men are different the way they age. What I care about
is better
is
as
sagging,
we get older.
Sharpay skin. And I have good skin. I've got my father's skin, so I'm not wrinkly.
You exfoliate on a regular basis?
What's that?
Exfoliate on a regular basis.
No. In fact, I've been thinking about my skin because I spend so much time out in the sun.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are always guys down here getting their, you know, skin picked off or burned off, something on there. You know,
does anyone ever show up to
right
the...
on the end of his nose.
Oh, you know? I hate that. Do you ever see anyone show up, like, to the golf club and they're just having a particularly flaky day?
Yeah. No, I'll see
and you want to go and just, like... Let me help you.
Here's what you will see. This is, there are some skin issues down here because I know that there are men down here that are like, meh. They don't, you know, they don't put
sunblock's
important.
Because
they're dudes. Yeah. They're the dudes. And you see skin down here that is just like, my God, you're destroying yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people that ought to, you know, play with a burka.
They because I mean that's how bad
their
skin
face
them.
Looks like it's covered with barbecue potato chips.
And every now and then you'll see them show up, and one of them will have just a strange teeny tiny Band-Aid in a certain spot.
Oh.
And you know that's where they got like that because of the sun. It's yeah. It's very difficult down here. You know, it's difficult. But I've got to probably get checked out. My doctor's leaving his place. I was this close to calling him yesterday. After 20 minutes on the phone tree with my doctor. I chucked it. I said I'll just deal with it and see if I do better, and I did, and I'm thrilled. But I'm still, it's the death grip that keeps on giving. I'm taking antibiotics.
Yeah.
I'm taking this to deal with this chest thing that's probably due to the fact that they poison the golf course.
Yeah.
And they're out here, and breathing is it just sucks. I'm ready for this thing to go. Carl is hacking. Mm. My son is hacking. I'm hacking. And then yesterday it got worse, and now today I am hoping that yesterday was the absolute end of the really bad stuff.
Rock bottom.
I think, I'm going to knock on wood right here and say, I think I feel better, but I've never had anything this lingering, this virulent that stays, and it's just no fun at all. And, I just want it to be over. It's getting,
as long as you're taking care of yourself and you're taking that day and you're not drinking, you keep your immune system up, you're going to be okay.
And I do think you need to stay inside. I think that's going to be key for the next few days.
No, I can't.
You
do
got
that.
To.
You won't do it.
I can't do that.
Got no. to.
Can't do that.
Can you wear? Can you wear a mask?
You lose a hand.
What? I did the unthinkable yesterday.
Oh,
it's not being on the show. It's canceling the tea time. That's the unthinkable.
Oh my God. What?
That's the unthinkable. You don't know how much it takes for me.
What
to
are
do
you gonna?
That.
Do?
Did a coroner call on your house?
I had a 1:30 yesterday. You know? Do you know what it takes for me to do that?
A welfare check.
Like, yeah. Because you know what how they react to that? Like you what? What you sound? Yeah, you can't play. That's the attitude. That's the you could be sitting there with your eyes bleeding, and they go, "Can you see out of them?"
You can swing the club, the right?
You don't need your voice. Time. You don't need your voice to swing a three wood, son.
Yeah.
Can you help me with this scab?
Are you well enough to play tomorrow? You can't play. Play me, huh? You dying? What? You got two tickets to paradise? Huh? We're going to Nino's to have pasta. You coming? Huh? Why can't you play?
You know, you'll sit there. You'll have the full sentence. I'll say I have laryngitis, and I am hacking up, and I do not feel well. I will not be able to play yesterday. And there we go. And you'll finish the entire explanation, which is not easy for me to do.
Right.
With you guys, I can send you a text.
Right.
I'm fine. I'm calling this one guy, and I get done with the full explanation, and this is the answer. So you can't play? It's like, God. What? Do you want me to say it again, you incredible? And it's like April a personal Fool. Upfront. You know? Anyway, we'll take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about Todd Moore.
Okay. Todd Tomo.
I'm feeling a little pressure. Today, of course, we tape Political Persuasions on the Moore Network, and I want to make sure that I understand. I'm getting some pressure to put Todd Moore on Political Persuasions, I believe most of that pressure is coming from a gentleman by the name of Todd Moore. We're going to take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I like my workplace, but it just isn't hostile enough? Well, boy, do we have the opportunity for you. The Mike O'Mara Show is looking for interns, and you could be what we're looking for. Afraid you might not pass a drug test? Don't worry, we hired Adrian. Do you think you don't have the personality or drive to be in radio? Well, Mac is still working here. And if you're worried about a criminal record, Dan O'Brien's shirts are so tight, they ought to be illegal. Any and all crayon-written resumes can be sent to rob@mikeomarashow.com. The Mike O'Mara Show Intern Program. It exists because college credits cost us nothing.
There you are, Dan O'Brien. Since 2017, getting it done. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Harry's. Here's a fact. I've never had a better shave than the shave I get with my Harry's.
This is true.
The best blades, the best shave gel, the best everything. I sound better than I've ever sounded before.
Do you think Eddie Money likes Harry's?
Excuse me.
Because I was just wondering how the spot might sound if it was read by rock and roll star Eddie Money.
Harry's stands behind the quality of their blades. They're great razors. But they know that switching razors isn't an easy decision. I'm sorry. Okay. Hey, they're going to love this one.
That's a good one.
Start again.
Okay.
Here's a fact. I've never had a better shave than the shave I get with Harry's. Had it this morning. I loved it. Had to actually jump out of the shower. I shave in the shower, for those of you who are wondering. And I have my little tube of the Harry's shave gel, and I knew that I had three giant tubes of it in my little drawer, so I had to dance across the bathroom floor to get my... Because I will not shave without Harry's shave gel. It's that good. The razors go without saying. They're phenomenal. But I love all the products from Harry's. I have three Harry's products in my shower every morning. I have the razor, I have the shave gel, and I have the face wash. And it's unprecedented. It's the best stuff I've ever used. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors. That's with unnecessary features that are all gimmicks. That's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. They sell directly to you over the internet. They can offer their blades at just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more for the leading brand. Plus, if you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days, and they will give you a full refund. They do that because they know how good it is. Get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, a weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Our listeners can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/TMOS. Make sure you go to harrys.com/TMOS to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support our show. Start saving while you're shaving. One of the best products I have ever endorsed.
I do love them. I love Harry's.
I mean that with all sincerity. Todd Moore.
He's a friend of Oscar's, you see.
He's your friend
as well. There was a person that got online, says we've got to put Todd Moore on political persuasions. Todd pretty much gave me the strong arm when we were down in New Orleans, Louisiana. I like Todd Moore a lot. I like him. Mm-hmm. He's funny. He's a scab picker.
Smart. Smart.
I had a thought with Todd Moore, who's been probably more active on social media this week than I've seen him in quite some time. And not about his trolling or his business. He's pretty much being political.
Very
active. I am curious because Mr. Moore, and I asked this to his best friend, Oscar Santana, Mr. Moore has had experience on Capitol Hill. He has testified before Congress.
Yes.
He got a taste of that. He didn't get less engaged after that. He got more engaged because of the, well, as he explained to me, because of what he went through during all that.
Yeah.
He felt that the system
was broken.
Was not necessarily fixed, and it was bad.
It's rigged for big business.
That's right.
He wasn't happy. My question to you is not whether... I know he wants to come on political persuasions because... He said that to me. But my question to you, this is a thought that popped into my head. Todd Moore, do you think that he has aspirations to be political? Do you think he wants to get into the arena himself? I asked that of Oscar Santana, his best buddy. You talk to him more than
I don't think he wants to get into politics. I think that he wants to make a change. I don't necessarily agree with all the changes he talks about, but on face value... I say this to everybody that asks me about Todd and his posts on Facebook, and by everybody, it's you and my handful of other friends. I say, look, if I went on Capitol Hill and I was fighting for the innovator and for the little guy, and everybody was giving me lip service that I went and talked to, and then when the vote came down, all of them voted against what they said they were going to vote, mm-hmm. I would be disenfranchised as well. If you get a chance to see how the ingredients are made and they're not 100%, you know, organic,
right,
and you were told they were, there'd be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't begrudge his drain the swamp views that he has had at times.
Do you think it's crossed his mind, though, to enter the political forum?
No.
Not at all?
Because as we all know, once you put your politics on the table, your business suffers. That is a fact.
That's true. They're not selling Trump steaks anymore.
Hi, everybody. That was veiled. By the way, that was directed at your boy over here. Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing?
But you're nice not running. You're not running for office yet.
I've done pretty well keeping that on
after
the other show.
You stopped the bleeding. Absolutely.
stop
so
the
bleeding.
Like
that
guy on the golf course, Mike. You showed up with a mysterious Band-Aid.
So... And I do not begrudge anybody from having their views. I come from a business standpoint when it comes to politics, and this has not changed since we've the election or even beforehand, right? Where politics have become so divisive in this country that people use it as a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
And once it's weaponized towards small businesses, it gets dangerous. That's why I frankly want to stay the hell out of it. But you can't put
I'm talking around it. I'm not getting into the details. I'm not getting into the deets here. I'm just kind of curious.
Stay out of the weeds, Mike.
Does he want to come on? Here's why.
I think he wants to book guests on your show.
Yes.
As he said to me in a text, if I was an executive producer, I would be getting a raise right now, because he went to some sort of meetup and met some influential political operatives that he wanted to get onto the program. And I said, you have to talk to Mike. I do not produce that show. I don't even want to be on that show. Please reach out to him.
I think Oscar would be great on Political Persuasions.
No, he wouldn't. No.
No, I wouldn't.
He hates it. He hates it because he walks the line. He walks the line.
No, it has not to do with my politics. It has everything to do with mom wanting
you.
Botox.
I'm talking about you. You work with two different people of two different political stripes. Oh, so it's very frustrating.
See, that does not affect me at all. What affects me is how it affects our business on both sides.
Right.
That's what affects me.
Right. You see that every day. But yes. I have done. If you want my politics and you want to hear how I feel, you can tune in to Political Persuasions each and every week. And by the way, Political Persuasions is not a completely one-sided forum.
No, unfiltered and unbiased.
My side, and then Chris Freitz kind of gives an unvarnished view
for the everyman,
and really analyzes the facts that they are as they are right now. And you know, all I can say, and I say that what I leave on this show is that we live in interesting times. We live in very, very interesting times. And once again, this week on Political Persuasions, I have never in all of my life
so much content
done a show. Done a show that writes itself more than Political Persuasions. There is literally never anything not to talk. It's constant. I'm a political junkie and I watch political shows on television. In past years, you've had situations where you would look at a political show and go, oh my God, they're just manufacturing stuff. It's just like blah, blah,
blah. Yeah, it's not the 700
Club. That's not the case anymore. Almost every week there's something going on.
And
it's
after
crazy.
We wrap an episode, we've done, 15, 16 of them, I guess. It's like 90 minutes after a topic breaks that we could have talked about that day.
As soon as someone gets fired, I sit here and I'm like, man, as soon as this show, and by the way, Political Persuasions is growing, so get on a winning team. It is
as far as
the program.
If it sounds like we're promoting it, I don't want to be cagey about it. I'm mentioning this because I would like to get more
but you've doubled
downloads for
you're up 100% from where you started, so congratulations.
I love that, but I want more. We have a lot of fun. Chris Freitz keeps me in line. I drive him crazy.
He dances.
But it is fun to talk about. And I think really the way I can describe Political Persuasions is it's my angst. It's my fears. It's my concerns. And I'm able to express those. And sometimes Chris Freitz will back me up. And sometimes he will say, you're overreacting. Yeah. Don't be so crazy. And I think it's really interesting. But we are always looking to expand. And as a matter of fact, Todd did reach out to me, and because I was under the weather yesterday, we couldn't make it happen. But I would love to have some of his people that that he has suggested we book on the show. It should be interesting, and I think
if Pony saw the names, he would be pumped.
Yeah.
Oh man,
it was the
you
names
saw the
name,
the governor of Japan.
Oh, I can't wait.
Let me tell
the
you,
the governor.
Does Japan have a governor?
They're all your people, Tony. They're all the people you love.
Tech people.
Anime animators.
Right now, the quest that Todd seems to be on, he's on Zuckerberg pretty good.
Oh,
he's jumping on Mark Zuckerberg quite a bit.
A new tech 401
covers the details. Zuck said, instead of building walls, we can help people build bridges. And then he built a wall around his home in Hawaii. Good stuff. So Todd likes to call out people for being hypocritical.
Did he write that?
No, I think he retweeted from Wozniak.
Like, I was like Steve Wozniak actually said that.
Oh, that's
but he
his
retweeted.
Hero. Wozniak is his hero.
Yes.
So that's
he did build a wall all around his home in Hawaii, but he's a billionaire. Do what you want.
Yeah, he wants people to stay out.
Pleased to know the wall has been endorsed by Oscar Santana. Feel free to mark your territory.
Yeah.
The hardest part about that Facebook hearing, we mentioned a little bit about it yesterday on the program, is that these senators have no idea what Facebook is.
Yeah,
and
they don't.
How
do you make money, son?
How do you tweet on that thing?
What is that called, Twitter?
I didn't see it. How did? And this isn't political. How did Zuck do? How did Zuckerberg do?
Have you seen Silicon Valley?
Yeah,
on HBO. Yeah, it's like it was another episode.
Mike,
was
it
really that bad?
Yeah, it was a nice cocktail, about a 50% mix of snark and 50% of I really don't want to be here. And how he, and it was
the worst part.
So he got snarky like in The Social Network.
Yes, because he goes, I don't think so, Senator. I believe that, like, it's all, it's not even scripted.
It's mechanical.
I want, because the guy, there's nothing about him that's charismatic. No. You know, it's just,
he's, and he's so,
you can't buy that. You can't buy that.
Right. It's terrible. Well, anyway, Todd, let me just say, if you're listening to this show today, I'll give it some thought. But see, Todd, the last thing I wanted to say, hold the music for just a second.
Okay, you got it.
Because I just thought of this. The last thing I will say to you about Todd, and I think Oscar may agree with me or may not. I'm not sure. Todd tends to like to pick scabs.
Oh,
Todd
likes to. All we do is
Todd,
break balls.
Here's the thing. I don't know whether Todd is going to come on. I think Todd will come on to do two things. He will come on to express his views, or he might just come on to piss me off. I'm not sure, because he's capable of doing both.
Might be, again, a 50% mix of each. I'm scared to have him in, because between him and Freights, it's like having the two giants of the world in the studio. World's tallest people,
tall.
Yeah.
They're both
I will see
tall,
him on Saturday night, so I will ask him in person.
Ask him if he wants to come on.
What his appetite for that is, or if he just wants to bring guests on.
Okay.
Because he's trying to book political persuasion for other people.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
That's he's like being an advanced guy. He's advancing his theories and his
getting his guests.
Yeah,
on
to
the
get
show.
His guests on the show. It's really sort of, you know what that is?
Anyway,
sinister.
That's okay. might not really happen. But you know what? Hey, the first one he suggested, the answer
heavy
to that
hitter.
Question, I would love to talk to Roger Stone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Heavy hitter.
I would love to talk to him. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, of course.
That's how you put the show on the map. So tell him that for me. And other than that, I'll call him.
We'll pass on Alex Jones, though.
Oh.
That's sad, because Alex Jones has come by the front door every day this week.
Just screaming.
Just knocking. I said, can I come in?
I might not pass on him. Anyway, we'll take a break.
Oh, man.
I hope he doesn't.
That's a spicy meatball.
Oh, God. Is that who he's hanging out with? Oh, God. All right. We'll take a break. Come back and talk about the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry. It's coming back, people. I'm excited. We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The struggle is all too real. Elderly talk show hosts wheezing and gasping for air. Boss drunks upset with big grocery.
Wegmans does not respect you as a customer. Wegmans sees you as a rube.
Bolivian immigrants at a loss for words.
Ah.
It doesn't have to be this bad. Here's how you can help. Don't be a tick. Get a TMOS bonus package for that extra hour of comedy every week that you can't get anywhere else. Your help can preserve the funny for years to come and make America great again. Thank ye.
It's Jim Amato. It's mellow Jim Amato, which we don't get very often. Yeah. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Which is to say, are you posting your position to job sites and waiting?
Waiting.
And waiting for the right people to see it? Let ZipRecruiter help. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way. They built a platform that gets the right candidates to you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and then invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive, so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free, absolutely free. That's right, free.
Free.
Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Yes, I have to say, it's been a long time. The Red Sox have won some championships. The rivalry lost its luster, and now they're punching each other, which is a wonderful sign when the Red Sox and the Yankees hate each other, ladies and gentlemen. It's fantastic.
Would you like to go to the tape and hear the brawl from yesterday, Mike?
Okay, here's what started. Right. You got a guy, a rookie player for the Yankees, slides into second, kind of chops out Brock Holt's legs under him, trying to take him out, trying to spike him, okay? I saw the videotape. It's a dirty move. Joe Kelly comes in. I think it's
Joe
the
Kelly.
Seventh inning. That same guy that tried to spike Brock Holt gets beamed by Joe Kelly, a 97-mile-an-hour fastball right in the center of his body.
and he don't take kindly to it. And this means the rivalry's back, ladies and gentlemen. Baseball brawling! It's the best! It's
and that's why he gets drilled here, and he slams the bat. Now he's making a move, and here he comes on the run. And now fisticuffs as Kelly's being tackled and punches being thrown. The dugout's emptying. Here come the bullpens again. Punches and tackles. And we're going to see some ejections after this one. And Kelly just about undressed.
Yeah, Kelly got a couple of licks in.
Mike, I hope you say something bad about Joe Kelly, because remember we have that listener named Joe Kelly. That every time you...
Joe Kelly drives me... Oh, by the way, they lost. Joe Kelly was pitching. But the thing about Joe Kelly is he was in right in the middle of this. And, you know, it was a pretty obvious case of retaliation because he had the guy slide into second harder than he needs to. And then next inning, he gets beamed. It was pretty obvious what was going on. He got thrown out. The other guy got thrown out. A coach got thrown out.
What do you think is bringing the rivalry back? Do you think it's because the Sox are playing better ball this year?
I'll tell you what I think. I think the Red Sox have a pretty good team. Mm-hmm. Not a great team, but they've got a pretty good team. They're sitting atop in the AL East. They're doing very well. But the Yankees are kind of a behemoth. They got Giancarlo Stanton. Mm-hmm. They got Aaron Judge. They got these monsters, and they're getting back to that old swagger. And it's just makes me sit up and take notice of baseball, which I haven't done for a while. It's been kind of bleh. It's gonna be, even when they made the playoffs, it was kind of bleh.
Did you know that? And I'm happy you mentioned the baseball side. I know it's not a sports show, but the Orioles are giving away tickets to kids 9 and under for all their games in the upper deck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is how out of the box the MLB and their owners are thinking now to bring a younger, youthful audience to the game, where now if you have children that are 9 and under, you can bring them to the game up to two kids, right?
But you still have to buy a ticket to be the grown-up.
The adults do, but that's genius.
That is very smart.
It's genius because I think what you've heard, especially in baseball, for the amount of games there are, it used to be a situation where a family of four could go to a baseball game and it would be a reasonable alternative to do other things. They have priced themselves with vending so completely out of the market that it's very, very all sports. We've talked about, by the way, that's when the TMOS fan club stepped up and got me the tickets to the Masters, because I was talking about the elusive sporting events, which they're going to have to figure, all sports are going to have to do this to bring it down. I think it's great that the Orioles are doing this, because that's the type of thing that will get
makes me want to go to a nose game.
Yeah.
And makes you want to go to a nose game.
If I had a kid, I'd definitely
your little
go.
Nephew you down. Can take, I mean, you can take that's Robert. Awesome.
Robert's not 9.
Robert won't pass for 9.
He could play 9. Well, what if we did? What if we did him like Dorf? Made him on his knees and put shoes on.
Pony looks younger than Robert.
Right now. He does. He does.
It would be.
Would you go as a father? You'd take your son, right? Probably
in a heartbeat.
Over a Nats game if they have that offering.
Sure. In a heartbeat. The cruel thing about April in baseball on the East Coast is that you go to a baseball game and it's 37 degree wind chill up there. I remember taking my daughters to the upper deck. Not for free back in the day. We went to the upper deck. I don't know how old they were. They were young. They were very little. And we were up in the upper deck at Camden Yards. We went to one inning. We stayed for one inning. And they said, Dad, I'm cold. Dad, I'm hungry. Dad, I'm in. Dad, do girls just want to leave? Yes. And then we stayed for one inning. That was I didn't force him to stay.
No, you got to eject at that point. A
lot of shade at Camden Park.
By the way, I've always said my daughters were always very evolved about the event. There are kids that want to stay.
Yeah.
My kids were perfectly comfortable with getting the experience. I feel the same way about a concert, by the way. I see the opening of a concert, I'm pretty much set.
Depends on the artist. I think it depends on the artist. If they can sustain.
You've never met an event you didn't stay till the last song for. I don't like
that. I'm more afraid of the traffic. Let me get out early.
Yeah. They have it down here. Down here, they're even worse. The old people down here, there was a musical. Was it Carole King's musical that was on Broadway?
Yeah,
now it's touring the country. And this guy was telling me that people in the third act of this musical, before the show's even over, people started looking at their watches and getting up and leaving.
Yeah.
The old people. That's exactly what
happened. I got scarred once.
My light bulb that just went out? How about that, everybody? Isn't that spectacular?
You're in Sephia.
The ghost of Carole King.
Hey, look at this.
I was, I think, 9 or 10 years old, and I won Redskin tickets. It was Redskins versus the Raiders. And they were decent tickets.
That's a solid game.
They were decent tickets.
Was Bo Jackson playing then?
No, this would be like 1980. So not 80, 81. I think it's before him.
That'd be Rip.
Yeah, no. It was Theismann.
That'd be before
Theismann. It was Theismann.
So Joe Theismann. We had seats down, like me and my dad.
Billy Kilmer.
That's right.
Billy Kilmer.
Sonny.
Hello there. How are you?
No.
SJ9.
No.
Try the new SJ9 cigar.
Hot dog. We were right down. Our seats were on the fence to the field, so we were right close. It was fun. Very exciting for a kid. But the Redskins were down
Hold
by 20.
On. How did you explain that again, sports guy? How did you explain where your seats
were? Right next to the glass?
No, they were
on the fence next to the field. Do you mean did you have 50-yard line seats?
No. I mean, I think we were about on the 20 or 25, but okay. We were front row, great. You know, right on the field. There's a divider, right. I guess, not a fence,
yeah,
a wall.
On the field. You don't have to say on the fence.
Well, I was on the fence at the time.
Fence is more of a baseball.
How did you win them?
I think I might have called into Elliott and Woodside.
Oh my God, you were a prize pig before you got into radio.
Of course he was. That was the second Q107 reference on today's show, which is kind of cool.
Let's go for three.
Hey, how would you like to go to be on the 25-yard line? I'm Jim Elliott. Hey, here's little Robbie calling from McLean, Virginia.
It was McLean. Yeah.
You've got your tickets, little Robbie.
Someday we'll drink together at the Bobby Poe.
Hopefully Pa will come back home and I can take him to the game.
If my father would return my landline call. So the Redskins are down by 20. It's almost to the 2-minute warning. And my dad said, you know what? Sadly, son, they're not going to pull this off.
HBS?
We should go and beat the traffic. It'd be a wise move. And I said, okay. And we left. As we were pulling into my home, the game was finishing up on the radio, and the Redskins had just scored their third touchdown in 2.5 minutes. They came back and won the game.
Wow.
Very sad. And
As I walked in, Big Daddy was there because we went to Big Daddy's house. He said, you just walked away from the greatest ending of any football game. You didn't even see it on TV. You were there, and you didn't see it. This was not a smart move. And I said, thanks, Dad. So that's I'm like scarred. I don't want to miss it.
That's in the Jimmy Fallon movie, Fever Pitch, where he goes out to, with Drew Barrymore, he goes out to the party.
Yeah.
And he misses the greatest game in the Red Sox history, and you just start to break into a cold sweat. You know, if you're a sports fan,
are you conflicted when you watch that movie because it's about something you love and it stars someone you hate?
I can compartmentalize Jimmy Fallon. I'm able to
just
ignore the fact that Fallon is in the movie because I like the movie so much. You know, they shot that movie, and they had to kind of redo the ending. Because the Red Sox came back and it was pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
I think they had to retool. That was the real World Series that they were at the end of the game. That's at the end of the season. They actually shot that in St. Louis.
Oh, in St. Louis.
No, it was in St. Louis. That's where they shot, because that's where the Red Sox closed them out. 4-game sweep in the 2004 World Series.
I was wondering how they got that footage. Because I was like, this is too perfect. There's no way you can just recreate that.
I don't know. I have to look it up and find out exactly how that happened. But it was, and there was also the Curse of the Bambino that they changed that documentary to Reverse of the Curse. They had to move everything around.
They were going to win.
They had to go back and do that. And I guess I've got them on my mind because we're playing the Yankees now. It's kind of fun. But I hope that the Orioles... people follow suit, because I think if you can
make it more reasonable.
If you got empty seats, let the kids in. That's an awesome move. Are you psyched for that move by the Orioles?
I think it's terrific. Look, when I was a child, I was a really big baseball fan, because that's the only thing my parents didn't push me away from for some reason. It was like you can't play football, you're gonna get hurt. My dad was always about it being a violent game. He didn't really understand it. My uncles would bet on it all the time, get in fights, the barbecues, it'd be a whole thing. that pushed me away.
Baseball was peaceful.
That was fine.
Peaceful.
And so I'd go to Memorial Stadium on a regular basis.
Beautiful structure.
My sister would drive me.
Ain't getting there though.
And then she'd go on a date with some boy, and then I'd be sitting there at the park by myself. That's how crazy it was.
They'd come back and pick you up.
You know what? Your entire history is a legacy of abandonment.
Yes.
It's just the latchkey kid on the subway by himself at 3 years old or whatever, and now they would leave you in the stadium by yourself.
Well, I would go in and I'd say, I'll see you when the game's over, and she'd go on a date with her boyfriend.
Unreal. Wow.
Which was no big deal, because she would give me money to buy food and the program and
Did mama and papa know that
cotton
she
candy?
Left you
no,
alone?
No. But she was just being a good sister.
But you didn't care because you got money for food.
And I got, that's all you need. And I get a Slurpee on the way up from Silver Spring to Baltimore. She'd
stop
by 7-Eleven.
How old were you when she would leave you in the ballpark?
Probably 12, 13.
You poor kid.
No, it was great. I make friends. No one touched me. But I used to love it so much. But I remember the most cost prohibitive side was the ticket, right?
Sure.
That mm-hmm. was, so my dad was always out of town, so he felt guilty. So he would buy two tickets. My sister would never use hers.
Right.
And I didn't have the foresight to sell her the second ticket. I would just, you know, walk in with both of them.
Would she literally drop you off at the stadium gate?
Oh,
she'd slow down to 10 miles an hour.
Yeah, she would walk me, see me go into the gate, and then walk away. This is before cell phones, so we just say we'll meet here at this time. Right?
Wow.
Oh my God, that's so very sad.
So,
but and now she's a doctor.
This explains a lot, though, where Rob, my dad took me one Redskins game, right?
Right.
And we left early because it was too cold. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say three quarters in as well. I think the people that are really diehard fans, that they don't get dragged out of games that may or may not be like a winning composition. This is why
Redskins games with the traffic, it's a different animal. It's
RFK was easy to navigate. There's no excuses. My dad was just foreign and didn't understand the game. We saw the Los Gigantes, as he called them, the Giants.
Did he think he was going to a soccer match when you called it football?
No, but we were right behind. I remember the end zone, and he's like, "De repente vamos a ganar la pelota." If we were going to catch the field goal. And I said, "Oh, man, that's not going to happen. This net's going to catch it. We're never going to get a ball."
It's like a baseball game.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Your poor childhood. Now,
right?
You know, it makes sense when you talk about this. It makes sense the way you've grown up. I think
but responsible.
Yes.
Yeah. It continues to this day.
Alone. Sad.
The Lyft driver drops him off here every day. And doesn't even wait for him to get in.
Tomorrow we have to talk about his labradoodle. We'll do that.
Thank you.
And more fun and more. I forgot to do that. I was going to do that today. We'll have a whole dog segment. I'll talk about why mine don't love me.
Dogs.
Anyway, we'll take a break and come back with the news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Rob and Joe here, big fans of the TMOS Fan Club, a great group of people. You're buying gifts, you're sending Mike to the Masters, Rob is going to cruise, Pony is... Anyway, we would like some gifts.
Sure. I mean, we're registered places if they don't know what to get us.
Yeah, for example, Amazon.com.
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, Matt Bloom's Honda.
We're at Target. We're at Walmart.
We're at Zoomers in Atlantic City.
Marcus Serta's Podcast Emporium and Bakery.
Right, we're at Oscar's Build the Wall.
We're at Johnson's Formal and Bridal.
Hey, did Tawanda tell you to say that? Rob and Joe Show. New episode every single week. RobandJoeShow.com. Buy us things.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
What are you gesturing at?
I'm telling my wife that the light bulb blew out. Do we have any light bulbs? Thank you, sweetheart.
Your son had one, but it broke.
That's right.
Today is national. What am I doing? I'm not even doing the spot. I'm looking at myself and I look like a Smurf. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by our TMOS bonus packages. There's a certain magic in the air.
Yes.
And that can only mean one thing.
Oh,
it's springtime, bitches. Time to go out and romp in the new cool grass. Breathe deep and cough hard. A young man's thoughts turn
to love.
Lovey, love, love.
But beware, the warm air and outdoor fun means the return of chiggers and ticks and probably VD. And even worse, the countryside will be teeming with TMOS listeners that don't subscribe to the bonus show. They suck worst of all. Blood-sucking, slimy parasites that leave you feeling comedically drained. Sign up for the TMOS bonus show. Remember, the future of our show depends on it. It's the most fun we have each week, and it still has the exciting polleny goodness that screams springtime. It ain't allergies. Your eyes are watering because you've laughed yourself to tears.
Ah.
Is it just broken? Just broken. Great. Okay, another thing to buy. Ha-ha! Just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus contests and content, and you'll be helping TMOS. So please quit sucking, and we thank you. So I was just informed the light bulb, the lamp is broken. My lamp.
Really?
Lamp.
And lampy lamp.
And you
lamp.
Love lamp.
Yeah, you do love lamp.
I love lamp. I love lamp. Hey, well, stop talking about the lamp and play the thing.
News.
Boo. I'm trying.
You're doing.
Thank you.
You're doing. The lamp sucks, but you're great.
Today is National Grilled Cheese Day.
Yes!
Woo!
According to a new survey, only 13% of Americans don't like grilled cheese sandwiches. 87% say they do. And it's our second favorite cheesy food behind pizza.
Pizza.
But ahead of macaroni and cheese and cheeseburgers. So it's right behind pizza and it's ahead of mac and cheese and cheeseburgers.
Is mac and cheese at number three?
Mac and cheese is number three. Cheeseburgers number four.
I would put cheeseburger ahead of macaroni and cheese, but that's just my cheesy input.
I would put pizza, then mac, then cheeseburger, then mac and cheese. No, I would go pizza, cheeseburger, grilled cheese, and then mac and cheese.
I think you may be right. I think you might be right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah. What about chili mac?
Chili mac. But chili mac isn't a cheese thing.
What about Mac Macintosh?
See, that shows your total lack of knowledge of food. We're talking about cheese, and you say chili mac, which is a pasta and chili dish.
But isn't it mac and chili?
No.
No.
But it's not mac and cheese. We're talking about cheese,
but isn't mac and cheese and chili?
No. It is not. No, mac and cheese is
macaroni and chili.
Have a chicken finger. I stand corrected. Have a chicken finger. Sit in the corner.
Mike, what about fondue?
Our five favorite cheeses. Our five favorite. Excuse me. Our five favorite cheeses. Serious business here, boys.
It is.
Our five favorites to use on grilled cheese are cheddar,
yes.
American, Swiss, provolone, and pepper jack. Overrated cheese.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a gimmick cheese.
Half of us like to use at least two different types when we make a grilled cheese.
Where is Gruyere? is that your butler?
What? Gruyere. Perhaps Gruyere will come visit us tomorrow.
I'd love that, Gruyere.
I haven't created a new voice in a long time.
Gruyere the butler.
I'll take suggestions tonight. Gruyere will be visiting us tomorrow. Another new survey also revealed just how much we love cheese in general. 87% of people that they surveyed say they'd rather give up either coffee, chocolate, or booze before cutting cheese out of their diet. 90% would eat cheese multiple times every day if it wasn't bad for them. And 66% say that if the area they lived in suddenly banned cheese, they'd move.
You remember, Mike?
They banned cheese in my state.
Do you remember the legendary cheese ban of Leesburg in 2018?
Oh,
and I had to move.
It was a tragic time.
Horrible time.
Yeah, really sad. Listen to that. God. Bill Gates and Angelina Jolie are the most admired man and woman in the world, according to an annual poll by YouGov.com. The results were based on interviews with 37,000 people. Oh, in 35 countries. So
worldwide.
The U.S. would be different. Mm-hmm. Gates was followed by, on the men's list, by Barack Obama and Jackie Chan. The top 20 also include Vladimir Putin, the Dalai Lama, Michael Jordan, Pope Francis, and President Trump. Michelle Obama and Oprah came in second and third for the women. Others who made the women's list included Hillary Clinton, Emma Watson, Taylor Swift, Priyanka Chopra from Quantico.
Okay.
What the hell is that?
Quantico. Oh,
TV show, right?
TV show, yeah.
And Gal Gadot. It's Gal Gadot.
Yes.
That's
yes.
The correct reference. So there you have it.
They didn't ask for my input because my guys didn't even make the list.
Who's that?
Chrissy Metz and Jimmy Cerrito.
Oh, my God. Chrissy Metz has a new book coming out.
Oh, she's touring.
You should have her on the show.
I'm not sure that's a good idea.
Yeah.
This is me, it's called, if I'm not mistaken.
You ruined that.
As a matter of fact, I asked Mike, and he said, no.
If you limit the results to just the U.S. alone, Barack and Michelle Obama topped their respective lists. Barack was followed by Trump, Billy Graham, Pope Francis, Gates. Michelle was followed by Oprah, Queen Elizabeth, Hillary, and Ellen DeGeneres. Angelina Jolie was way down at number 14 on the U.S. list.
Oh, okay.
She was five spots behind Sarah Huckabee Sanders. So that's
really
I knew Angelina Jolie would not be popular on our list. Mariah Carey reveals in the new issue of People magazine that she suffers from bipolar disorder.
Yes.
Now it all makes sense. Check this out. She was diagnosed in 2001 and she only recently started getting help. She says, quote, "Until recently, I lived in denial and isolation and constant fear someone would expose me. It was too heavy a burden to carry and I simply couldn't do that anymore. I sought and received treatment. I put positive people around me, and I got back to doing what I love, writing songs and making music." Good for you, Mariah. Mariah is battling her disease with a combination of therapy and medication, and it seems to be working, and she hopes that she can inspire others by coming forward. She's done some strange things over the years, and
she
that
has,
maybe makes
and
sense
I
to
think
me.
It's that's a valid angle. If she's trying to sort of decriminalize having bipolar disorder, that's mm-hmm. great that she comes
Good
forward
for
and does that.
Makes
I
sense.
Think
yes.
she's brave to come forward. I'm not ready to come forward with mine yet, though. Just saying.
No it's one not suspects exactly, it, Mike.
Yeah, I know.
What?
It's not exactly surprising that
Sharon Osbourne doesn't get along with everybody, but Ashton Kutcher seems like a pretty agreeable guy.
Yeah.
But when he was on The Talk years ago, things didn't go too well. On Larry King Now, Sharon admitted that they got off on the wrong foot. Sharon can be a little rough.
She's prickly.
Here's her quote.
He was pissed, and he comes on with an attitude, and he goes, "What have you done in this industry?" And I was like, "Kid, don't start with me because I'm going to eat you up and poop you out."
Oh.
I was just like, "You don't know what you're dealing with, kid."
So I guess they had a little fight. I wish they'd, I was looking for a clip from The Talk when he was on, but I didn't find that. So I don't know.
I have the clip with Larry King.
No, but that's useless. That's not worth anything. Moving right along, taxes are due on April 17th this year, which is this coming Tuesday. If that's news to you, it might be time to panic. Or just file for an extension. But the good news is your chances of being audited are the lowest they've been in 15 years.
I've been telling Carrie to cheat.
According to stats from the IRS, only about 1 in 160 tax returns were audited last year. That's the lowest it's been since 2002. The highest was in 2010 and 2011 when 1 in 90 people got audited.
Wow, 1 in 90.
This is a ruse. Just giving you warnings
now they're getting ready to jump.
This is when the dummies decide to cheat.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's when they're like, "Oh, by the way, we'll get another study." Last year was the highest year.
After, yeah.
That's when they get you.
The limitations. They'll get back. You know, it's not like you do it this year and they'll forget.
No, they can get you anytime.
So I can or can't deduct vodka.
It says here that it could drop even lower because IRS funding was slashed by about 8% last year and over 7,000 auditing jobs went away. Whether you think that's good or not is up for debate, but it does mean you'll probably be less likely to get audited time around.
You get red flagged within the system. That's how it works.
They'll get to you.
It's not a person looking at your tax. This is a problem here. The numbers don't lie.
Yeah, it's true. If you made less than $200,000 last year, you have about a 0.6% chance of an audit compared to around 1% in 2011. If you made more than that, your chances are higher. But even the odds for people who made over $1 million are way down from 12% in 2011 to 4% now.
So many
millionaires are not getting audited, which is fairly interesting. But Oscar's right. They'll always get you. Beware.
They can come get you. My tax guy is a former IRS investigator.
Right.
And he's like, "Look, man," he goes, "I've seen people try to figure out the system. They'll get you 5 years later. Like, they'll get you.
They're going to get you."
And I said, I was like, "Why are you telling me that?" He goes, "I'm just telling you that before we onboard you, there's no gray area here." I was like, "I feel like I'm paying more than most."
Yeah.
Very good. And now a little something something. A 37-year-old guy named Bernard Jackson recently got evicted from his house near Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And when the cops tried to kick him out last week, it started a 4-hour standoff.
Oh, no.
He claimed to be a sovereign citizen, meaning he's not governed by the laws of the United States, and he wouldn't come out, so a SWAT team had to go in and get him. Once they were inside, they smelled gasoline.
Oh.
And when they tried to go upstairs to arrest him, he tried to hold them off by setting his stairs on fire.
Aha!
His plan actually worked in the short term because they had to go back outside until the fire was out, but while he was burning the stairs, he also set his feet on fire by mistake, and the burns were bad enough that he decided to surrender. He yelled that he was coming out, then limped outside and let them arrest him. He's facing charges for criminal trespassing and resisting arrest, plus a second-degree arson charge for his stupid stair fire idea. The good news is he only has to drive through two states to get to Florida. There you go. Once he gets out. Welcome, friend. You belong here.
Mike, we've done over 2,000 podcasts together, and that's the first time you've ever said the phrase, "He set his feet on fire."
Set his feet on fire. Yeah.
Sad, right?
That's right, Money Man. Very, very sad. We'll take a break and come back with the audio of Alton Robb's B-Wack right here on The Michael Mara Show.
And now, advice from Andrea.
Hello, ladies.
This is
Andrea, the Italian TMOS intern. Here's my advice on how to master diabetes. Go to a bakery and watch other people eat cakes while you savor a gluten-free cookie. Sit in a pub, and when your friend asks, "Want a beer?" say you'll stick to the water. When you want something sweet, go to the kitchen and prepare oatmeal without added sugar. And remember to tell every person you want to date that you have diabetes for added flair. And then have them back at your place for a sweet, sweet injection. Then, and only then, will you master diabetes. Buon divertimento. Ciao.
Excuse me,
Andrea, great job. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Amazon. Some of you know that we have a new policy for Amazon for 2018. Please pay attention to this. We want to make sure that everyone knows it. Here's all you need to know to ensure that we get credit for your Amazon purchase. Just make sure that you click the Amazon link at the top of the TMOS website. It's super easy, and that will guarantee that we get credit for your purchase. So start clicking, because if you need it, Amazon has it. What's today's Amazon purchase of the day?
We talked about it about a week and a half ago. I got it in the mail yesterday, Mike. Alert drops. Remember these?
You got them. Do they work?
They work. It is like a super bitter, although not totally unpleasant, lemon spray that you spray on your tongue, and because of the sensation, absolutely, take a squirt. It's like a bottle of Banaca.
Give them to Oscar right before the show starts.
Hey, how dare you?
But it's simply a simple spray on the tongue, makes you alert, designed by Dr. Henry Heimlich.
Oscar just tried.
But it is, Amazon pretty really damn good.
That's good. Amazon really does have everything. You can find the alert drops and more at the top of MikeOMaraShow.com. So get clicking.
Woo!
And now let's open up the audio vault for
I told you. Yeah.
April. Are they horrible?
No, but it does wake you up. It's like you've been your tongue was punched.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it, like a karate chop to the tongue to wake you up.
It's just lemon. And it's so there's nothing, you know, no caffeine, no stimulants, all natural. And I was shocked how well it worked.
Like an adrenaline shot.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I would have saved a fortune on ice cream when I was working at the Edge. Anyway, let's open up the audio vault for today. Thursday, April 12, 2018, Rob Spreewer.
Are you ready to say goodbye to Eddie Munster?
Did he pass?
No, Paul Ryan is retiring.
Eddie Munster. Yeah, that's a big story. We'll talk about that on Political Persuasion.
But the thing about it that I love is that he had this great moment in the spotlight to announce his retirement, and he screwed it up. He said he intends to full my serve term.
I'm announcing that this year will be my last one as a member of the House. To be clear, I am not resigning. I intend to full my serve term as I was elected to do. But I will be retiring in January, leaving this majority in good hands with what I believe is a very bright future.
What do you say?
What are you fulling for dinner tonight?
I intend to full my serve term as I was elected to do.
There he is.
Did you eat all the chicken? Yes, I'm served.
Now, this is an answer tape to yesterday. I think because it's college week on Jeopardy, the clues are skewing younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I like when Alex Trebek reads hip lyrics. We had rap lyrics yesterday. I think it might have been Jay-Z. Today, Britney Spears.
So if I said I want your body now, would you hold it against me?
Also recorded in a bar. On the way home from Sony Studios. Michael Rapaport, an actor who...
And podcaster.
I couldn't really think of a movie he's in, but I know him. I know his face, and I know that he's made...
God, I know him too, and I'm trying to think what he's been in. Got kind of a... He's kind of a blonde, reddish, blonde
Yeah, he's a very
guy.
Blonde, bland guy. He kind of looks like Jimmy the Intern used to look. There's
but
not
a good
lot
actor.
There.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
But he's nutty, and he posted on the gram yesterday. He took to Instagram yesterday, and what is he ranting about? What is he most upset about? He's most upset that Mr. Zuckerberg on Capitol Hill had a thick seat cushion. He does not like this,
okay.
And he lets us know.
Yesterday, Mark Zuckerberg, the creator of Facebook, one of the wealthiest men in America, and nerd extraordinaire, testified in Congress, all the while sitting in a booster seat. You're in front of Congress, you goofy sucker. It's not a Dungeons and Dragons meeting. You think iconic nerds like Albert Einstein would have sat there in a booster seat? Can you imagine Steve Jobs sitting there in front of Congress in a booster seat? You nerd, you. I thought you were supposed to be so smart, you science fiction book reading, Star Wars watching, computer hacking, video game playing billionaire buffoon. I wasn't going to quit Facebook until I saw this. Now I'm done.
Yeah, so you can unfriend him if you're his friend on Facebook, because he ain't there anymore.
I didn't see the booster seat.
There was some talk online about it. I mean, once he's sitting down, who cares? He had to sit there for 40 hours. Let him have a cushion, for God's sake.
Yeah, why not? Why the hell not?
Alexa, is that the home assistant you have?
Alexa, yes.
Alexa is a conspiracy theorist, Oscar.
Mm.
You, if you ask Alexa about chemtrails in the sky, this is the answer you get.
Alexa, what's a chemtrail?
Chemtrail,
Trails left by aircraft are actually chemical or biological agents deliberately sprayed at high altitudes for a purpose undisclosed to the general public and clandestine programs directed by government officials.
So we're screwed.
Alexis Whoa. Jones.
It's Alexis Jones.
When did Todd Moore start, doing the Alexa thing?
Chemtrails. I've never heard of that theory.
Oh yeah,
it's the worst.
Oh, that's a really bad.
Is it really
one.
Bad?
It's one of the many conspiracy theories, like chemtrails and vaccinations, and just all the Alex Jones.
My stepfather before he passed was very suspicious of chemtrails. Well, what they are? They're ice crystals making
clouds.
They're
spraying chemtrails to poison us so they can keep the entire proletariat under wraps.
Mike, Mitzi Shore has passed. She's perhaps best known, I think, as Pauly Shore's mom, but she
comedy
was
store owned the Comedy Store.
Yeah, got it in a divorce from comedian Sammy Shore.
Sammy Shore. There was a documentary about those two.
And she was 87. She passed from Parkinson's. She was so important in the development of modern stand-up. If you read a list of all the comedians that she greenlit to put on stage, it's every comedian you can think of. And I found this fascinating. She did not think that writers could be stand-ups and stand-ups could be writers. And that was a policy that she tried to enforce at the Comedy Store. Here is Meryl Marco, who used to date David Letterman, and Gary Shandling talking about this policy, about Mitzi Shore.
Mitzi had a very firm opinion that you could not be a writer and a performer. She felt those were two entirely different areas. And if she knew that you had taken work as a writer, you were out. She felt that was a betrayal of stand-up.
Mitzi used to say to me, I think you're a writer. I don't think you're a performer. I think you're a writer. It was tough. But what she was right about was I had no sense of how to perform. I wasn't a natural performer. And so where the pain started is I had to figure out how to perform.
She was a tough cookie, and I think she drove a lot of comics like Gary Shandling to push himself and make himself better.
You know, and I just get sad. I watched the Gary Shandling documentary. Yeah. Did you see that on HBO?
The Zen Life or the Zen Studies.
God, we've lost so many great voices that still would be with us.
Oh, I know.
You know, George Carlin was sick and he was older, and we lost him. But when you talk about Robin Williams and you talk about Gary Shandling, you know, they had a couple... You know, they have many good years
left.
I went back and watched that documentary, and you just realize how naturally funny. It's funny when you hear Gary Shandling so filled with insecurities, and what he didn't realize was he was a natural performer.
Yeah.
Gary Shandling walks onto a stage, and I start laughing just because of the way he is.
100%.
And Robin Williams was a different story. Robin Williams, you know, had it all going on, and he worked to be funny. He really did. But Gary Shandling was just Gary Shandling. And
couldn't help it.
God, I laughed at him. God, he was, that's just a tragedy.
And I'm also, so I found out in doing the research, did you know that the Comedy Store used to be Ciro's? The nightclub that the Rat Pack used to play in the 50s on Sunset Strip. So it has a very storied history.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Not the most popular joint for comedians, right? They had to do it, but they didn't like it.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Still, it has its own powerhouse.
Oh,
right?
Legendary. Yeah. Very legendary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There was one of them that they didn't like because it was just like pulling teeth to get on set. I mean, it was tough. It was a tougher room. I'm not sure. You know, the Improv in D.C. is a great room. We'd have to ask Patton
I think the improv is the main competitor in L.A., and I think the Improv is the one that is a little more comic-friendly than the Comedy Store.
Yeah, we'll have to get Patton on and ask him about that. I'd love to do that.
All right, let's close with this. Did you know that they were using a very creative Disney-styled method of smuggling meth? Did you know this? This is horrible.
DEA officials, did you hear this, have seized 500 pounds of meth concealed inside Disney figurines. 500 pounds of meth in Disney's figure. Yeah. Which explains why Goofy is missing all but two teeth right now.
That's your magic radio vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
Thanks for joining us for another episode. Be sure and get our TMOS app and unlock the Mike O'Mara Show 24 hours a day. Send your messages for our Tuesday mailbag to Rob with the extra B at MikeO'MaraShow.com and all regular mail to TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. Each day, on average, 96 Americans killed by guns. Visit every town for gun safety to find out how we can end gun violence in America. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for your best part of the day, the Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Hi, this is the Money Man. That's right, Eddie Money, wishing you and yours a very, very happy holiday and some peace and out time for the new year.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.